Thank you so very much for sharing that with us today. When I was in seminary, I took Old Testament class from Dr. Hayes, who we used to joke, Dr. Hayes knew the Old Testament so well because he was there to see it. He had been teaching for countless years. And was one of those amazing individuals that while we're studying the Old Testament and he would go to read a passage and it wouldn't quite sync up with exactly what it was that we were looking at, and it's because he was reading from the Hebrew, just because he could. But our very first meeting of that class of the Old Testament, which it's full of all of these young men and young women who are training to be pastors, most of us United Methodist, although a few other traditions there as well. And he came in and kind of gave us an overview of this is what we're going to be doing, this is how we're going to be handling it. And he says, but today we have a special guest. And so he brought in, which we thought Dr. Hayes was old, until we met his guest. He's this little bitty short man who was a rabbi at one of the Jewish congregations, one of the synagogues there around Emory, and they had been very good friends for many years. And the rabbi came in, and Dr. Hayes said, I've invited him to come and to talk to you as we begin this study of his book. And we pointing out the fact is that the Old Testament doesn't really belong to us as Christians. It is part of our Jewish heritage. One of the things that I'll remember about that encounter with that rabbi is when he began, he said, in order to understand the Jewish people, you have to understand the journey. In order to understand the Jewish people, you have to understand the journey. And then he went on to talk about that the entire life of the children of Israel has all been one huge journey. That even though there were times that there were moments where they were there and they had a land of their own as was promised to Israel, but the fact is they never kept it long. There was always somebody else who came in and took possession and sent the children of Israel out, and then they would come back, and then someone else would come in and send them out, and then they would make their way back. And so the entire story, especially as we find in the Hebrew Scriptures, is all a story of their journey. And as the rabbi said, to understand the people is to understand the journey. Reflecting on that this past year, I realized how that's really true for all of us. If you really want to understand me, you need to understand what brought me to this point. You need to understand all of my life experiences and the people that I have encountered. And I think in the Southern culture, we understand this probably greater than anybody else. After all, we're always concerned, who's your mama and them? We want to know not just who you are, but we want to know who your parents are and who your grandparents are, because our opinion of you is going to be heavily based on our opinion of them. Whether or not you're good people, whether or not you come from good families. It's a journey. We are not people who can be defined by just any one moment. To understand us, you have to understand the journey. And so over the next several weeks, we are going to be looking at the journey of the Hebrew people as found and recorded for us in the Exodus. Because, again, we are a part of that tradition. This is our story as well. And so to understand us and to understand where God is calling us to be, and who God is calling us to be, we have to understand the journey. And so we begin in the book of Exodus. We begin at the very beginning. And it all begins with a man named Joseph. We know the story of Joseph. Joseph had been sold by his brothers into slavery and found his way to Egypt. And through God's special blessing upon him, he now finds himself as the right-hand man of Pharaoh. And he is reunited with his family, and he brings, Exodus tells us, all of the children of Israel, and all of their children, and all their stuff, come to Egypt, and they grow, and they multiply. And soon they fill up the place. But then the scripture tells us there was a time that came that there was a Pharaoh, a supreme ruler, who did not remember Joseph. Who did not remember all that Joseph had done. That all he knew of the story was that moment when he looked out and saw all of these children of Israel, and that they numbered more than the original Egyptians. And he said, that's a problem. We got to put a handle on that. We got to stop that. And so the story begins of all the ways that he intended to do that. He intended to cut down on the surplus population of a people that were enslaved now. People who once had been brought in as people of privilege now found themselves as slaves in their own home. And Pharaoh tried everything to keep them down. But notice what the scripture says. The more Pharaoh tried, the harder he made it on them, the more they grew, and the more God blessed them. And then finally we see the birth of Moses, who we talked about in our children's sermon today. And Moses comes, and Moses should have been one of those casualties, but because of a very wise woman that his mother was, she said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give him a chance. And so she puts him in a basket and trusts into God. And God takes Moses into the very house of Pharaoh himself. We know the rest of the story, especially if you've seen Charlton Heston. Moses is raised as a prince. And then Moses, as this member of the royal family, all of a sudden his eyes are open to the plight of his people around him. And he sees the way the Hebrew people are being treated. And the time comes, the encounter says, where Moses sees one of the Hebrew slaves being beaten fiercely by one of the Egyptian slave masters. And Moses intervenes and kills the Egyptian and hides the body. Then the time comes, he comes to break up two slaves fighting. And one of the slaves says to him, so are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? This thing that Moses did that he thought nobody knew about, now all of a sudden is front page. And so Moses does what most of us want to do whenever we're confronted with a crisis situation, is he ran away. And he ran to Midian. That's where we'll stop the story for today. But our real focus, we're going to back up a little bit to the beginning. Here, this people who once experienced great prestige and great privilege in this land that they had adopted as their own now find themselves enslaved. Because why? A time came when there was a Pharaoh who did not remember Joseph. The time came when there was someone who did not know. And so the people found their lives radically changed. That was the beginning of their journey. Is when all of a sudden all that they knew and the comfortable life that they had been stripped away, and they found themselves in a hostile place, in a hostile environment, in a world that they didn't recognize. Does any of that happen to sound familiar to anybody out there? Because you see, in a lot of ways, we as people of faith are living in a world that knows not Joseph. We are living, let's turn to the scripture and see exactly the way they say this. In verse 8, then the new king began to rule Egypt, who did not know who Joseph was. He did not know the story. All he knew was the moment, and he said, I don't like what I see. I've got to change it. Well, the fact is, we live in a world now where things are changing for us as a people of faith. We live in a world where people don't know our story. We live in a world where up until this point, we as people of faith, particular people of the Christian faith, have experienced great prestige and great privilege, and that's happened even in my lifetime, even much more so in the lifetime of many of you sitting out there. Even I remember a time where you went to church, everybody went to church, and that was part of the way you were identified. Who's your mama? Who's your granddaddy? Where do you go to church? Those are the things people were concerned about. And even if you didn't really go to a church, you still had a church you called your home church because that made you good people. Whether or not the pastor even knew you existed was completely immaterial. But it's because we lived in a world that placed importance on being a part of a faith community. Because we were living in a world where the faith community meant something. We were living in a world where church was people's society. Church was what people did in your spare time. We were living in a world where people put emphasis on following the teachings of the church. We were living in a world where we were people of prestige and privilege because we were living in a world that knew Joseph. We were living in a world that said that what we as Christian believers said and believed was important. And we enjoyed it. We probably enjoyed it a little too much. Because what often happens in those times of privilege and prestige is we get comfortable. And we get comfortable and we get lax. Because we believe that life will always be this way. We believe that we will always have this kind of power. We believe we will always have this kind of prosperity. One of the things I always think so interesting about following the news, whenever there's some kind of economic downturn and everybody all of a sudden panics, and what's the first thing people start doing? They start saving money and they stop spending, and all of a sudden everybody freaks out. Because we live in a world where we need people to spend money. But why did people stop spending? Because they got scared. Because they lived in a time where they thought, oh, I've got endless amounts of money. There's never going to be a time where that's going to be threatened. So therefore, I'm going to spend. And I'm going to spend more than I should. Because when we live in those times of peace and prosperity, we think it's never going to end. So we develop a life, we develop an entitlement of this is the way things should be because this is the way I like for them to be. But then lo and behold, it happens every time. You think we'd understand it by now, but lo and behold, something comes along every time and changes that, and then we panic. Because we weren't prepared for things to change. We weren't prepared. And then we circle the wagons, and then we close in, and then we make really poor decisions. Because instead of planning, we are now reacting. That's the world we live in. We live in a world where the Christian faith is so busy reacting that we can't have time to plan. And we live in a world that fosters that. That says, here's what you need to do. The world is changing. You live in a place who does not know Joseph, and so these are the ways you should respond. You should get angry. You should get mad. You should rail against it and why it's everybody else's fault. You should become bitter. You should automatically close ranks, and you should point out that everybody who does not look like you, does not sound like you, does not believe like you, is the source of all of your issues. And you should go on the attack. And so that's what we have done. That's what we as the church have done, is we have found ourselves in a changing world, and we've gotten angry, and we've attacked. So now my question comes for us, just how's that working out for us? Anybody want to guess? Because we got angry, and we got righteously indignant that the world wasn't playing by our rules anymore, and just how is that working out for us? Does anybody think church attendance has skyrocketed? Turn around and look. Does anybody think people are flooding to the faith? Turn around and look. Is that the way Israel reacted? Here they found themselves completely stripped of all they had known and all they had done, and what did they do? They kept being true to themselves. Each and every step of the way, as more and more was taken away, while they didn't like it, why they didn't want it, why they probably tried everything in their power to change it, but they did not allow the changing circumstances of Egypt to change them. Look at verse 11. So the Egyptians made life hard for the Israelites. They put slave masters over them who forced the Israelites to build the cities Pithom and Ramesses as supply cities for the king. Verse 12. But the harder the Egyptians forced the Israelites to work, the more the Israelites grew in number and spread out. Did you notice that? The harder life became for the Israelites, the more the Israelites grew and prospered. And I'm using prospered there, not as in the sense that, oh, life is hunky-dory. But they grew. They didn't give up. They didn't stop worshiping the God that had brought them into Egypt. They didn't change who they were. They remained faithful, even in the midst of those circumstances, to being the chosen people of God, and they lived that way, even when the world no longer recognized it. And because they remained faithful to who it was they knew themselves to be, God continued to grow them. Why? Because God was preparing them for something even greater. That's one of the reasons they could accept the changing world, is because it was never theirs. Because God had made a promise. God had made a promise to Israel that I'm going to give you your own land. I'm going to give you a place where you will live forever in joy and in peace. God didn't say, I'm going to give you Egypt. God said, I'm going to give you a place. So when all of a sudden Egypt did not become home for them anymore, that was okay. Because Egypt was never their destination. Egypt was not their promise. And so, therefore, they were able to endure in all that happened because they understood that this was just part of the journey. And so, the same is true for us. Is we live in a world where people don't like what we have to say. We live in a world where people don't like what we believe. We live in a world where people are constantly challenging us. We live in a world that doesn't remember. We live in a world who doesn't consider us great. And so how will we live? Will we continue to react? Will we continue to attack? Will we continue to allow the world to transform us into people we were never intended to be? I challenge you. Look anywhere in the Scriptures and find the calling of the people of God. And words that you find, are that you will never find, are vicious, angry, and bitter. I challenge you. If you find it, please call me on it. But nowhere in the descriptions of who Jesus has called us to be are those words used. But we are allowing ourselves to become those things. Nowhere. Time and time again throughout the Scriptures, Jesus and God say, do not fear. But we are allowing ourselves to be scared ridiculously. We continue to allow the world to change us? Or do we realize that our promise is not Egypt? That our promise, this is just a moment in the story. As Vicky's saying, our promise is yet to be. It's time that we remember that. It's time that Remember who it is we have been called to be. And that we commit ourselves to living as people of the promise of eternity. It's hard. It's going to get harder. Something else that I promise you, it doesn't matter who gets elected to any position, it's not going to change it. We live in a world that knows not our story. But just because they don't know the story doesn't mean the story changes. God has called us to be a people of love and a people of grace and a people of truth. And we will continue to be those things. Because as difficult as life may be at the moment, it's just part of the story. The journey is not over yet. And we, to understand us, you must understand the journey. Let us pray. Loving and eternal God, just here in these moments, speak to our hearts. God, it is so easy for us to get so overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world. And it is so easy for us to be so overwhelmed by all of the voices yelling at us all the time, telling us what to think and what to believe and how to change and who to be, calling us to choose sides. There's so many voices that fill our lives with so much noise that it drowns out your voice. And I just pray, O Lord, that in these moments that you will cast all of the noise out and we can just hear your voice. A voice calling us to be who we were created to be. Calling us to be a people who change the world instead of allowing the world to change us. Calling on us to be a people of joy, a people of peace, a people of forgiveness, a people of love, a people of truth. People who are not defined by our opinions, but by our faith. And our belief that every person is beloved by God. Speak to our hearts. And remind us that though we find ourselves in a foreign land, that this is not our promise. Therefore, it is not the end of our story. Speak to our hearts. Change our lives. Guide us, O Lord, in the journey. For we ask these things in Christ's holy and blessed name. Amen.
This morning we'll